Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Yud-Chet Amud Aleph after the Mishnah. The Mishnah discussed the heter of Pasei Biraot, which we had discussed in the first parak as well as in the Mishnah, which is that one is allowed to put up these boards or these corners around a water source in Reshut HaRabim in order to create a Reshut HaYachid surrounding that bore in Reshut HaRabim. So now the Gemara is going to discuss who is the author of this Mishnah. Gemara says, Lema matnitan de loke Chananya. Let us say the author of the Mishnah cannot be Chananya, Detanya. Ose pasim labor. One can put up these pasim to be the mechitza for a bore, for a cistern. Vechavalin lishayira. And you can put up the horizontal strings for a caravan, for someone who's in camping, who is traveling and needs a mechitza around the area that they settle in. So we saw that again in the Mishnayot in the previous parak. Vechananya omer chavalim labor. For the boar, you have to use these horizontal strings. Avalo pasin. But you can't use these boards. And as Rashi explains, the fear here is that a boar, which is a cistern, can run out of water. It is not a continuous source of water. It only can provide that which was captured in the cistern. And so because it might be emptied or drained, the cistern, and then it would no longer have the heter of pasim, we have to put up a much better mechitza around the boar mayim in order to have the mechitza continue or still be a mechitza even after the water is completely used. So therefore, Chananya requires there be strings around it on the horizontal in order there to be a proper mechitza so that when the water runs out, they'll still have a mechitza there. Or says, Afilu teima Chananya, bor lachud, be'er lachud. You're mixing up two different things. Bor is a cistern, be'er is a well. The difference being that a bor just captures the rainwater, and is limited to that which it is captured. Be'er is a well. It has a live source of water and should be there on a continuous basis. Our Mishnah was speaking about be'er, about a well or a spring, something that it has its own source of water and therefore would not dry up, would not be used up. On the other hand, the bor that we're discussing in this breita that we just quoted, that Chananya has an opinion about, that's a cistern. So he doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily incongruent with our Mishnah because Chananya is speaking about a cistern and the Mishnah is speaking about a be'er. Igdamre midlok dani Chananya omer osim chavalim lebor upasim lebe'er. The fact that he did not explicitly differentiate between a bor and a be'er and say you only need those horizontal strings when we're talking about a cistern and the pasim, those bors you can use when it's a be'er, when it's a well, because of the difference of the chance that it will run out, by the be'er it will not run out, so you can use these subpar mechitzot, because they'll always be there, the water source. On the other hand, by the cistern where the water source could run out, we require a higher standard of mechitza, the chavalim. The fact that Chananya does not make such a statement, that such a distinction, mechlal, the Chananya lo shna bor, lo shna be'er. Maybe it should make no difference whether it's a bor or a be'er, whether it's a cistern or a well. Chavalim in, pasim lo. And therefore, you can only use chavalim as the mechitza, but not pasim, not the boards, because he makes no such distinction, and therefore he must believe that you need that type of mechitza around a be'er, as well as a be'or, a bor, as well as a be'er. So lema matnita delo kechananya. So let us suggest, if that's the case, that the Mishnah is not like Chananya, because our Mishnah says that for a be'er, you can use pasim. Or it says, afilu teima Chananya. Amai dekamar tanakama kamahadele. He's just responding to the statement of the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama spoke about a boar, so therefore, Chananya spoke about a boar. He didn't speak about a be'er because that wasn't mentioned by the Tanakhama. Had the Tanakhama mentioned be'er, he would also have responded to be'er and said that a be'er is fine with pasim. So now the Gemara concludes here that we have no evidence that our Mishnah is not authored by Chananya, because there's a possibility that Chananya's opinion could be bifurcated, where his opinion is solely by a boar, by a cistern, and our Mishnah is speaking about a be'er. Let's take another step and say that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva. Titnan, echad be'er harabim, ubor harabim, ube'er hayachid, osim lehem pasim. So whether it is a be'er harabim, a well, a public well, bor harabim, a public cistern, ube'er hayachid, or a private well, osim lahem pasim. Then you can put pasim around it. Aval bor hayachid, osim la mechitza gvoa asarat tvachim, divi Rabbi Akiva. When it comes to a private cistern, there you have to have proper mechitzot around the cistern. The difference being, again, because a be'er has continuous flow of water, so there we don't worry. by the bore where the water could run out, we do worry. But here we're going to differentiate between a bore of the Rabim, a public bore, a public cistern, and a bore yachid, and a private cistern. And that is, as Rashi notes, because by the bore Rabim, if the water runs out, madkireya hadodi, they remind each other about it. This is something that we discussed in the beginning of Masechta. You can see Rabbi Akiva Eger points you back to Daf Gimel. Now, Daf Gimel, with regards to a Korah, there the Gemara discusses whether it's better to have a lot of people involved and they'll remind each other, or is it better to have a single individual because he takes responsibility? Whereas when there's a Rabim, there's a diffusion of responsibility. But over here, Rashi notes that according to Rabbi Akiva, the reason that Bor Rabim is allowed, even though the water can run out, is because they will remind each other not to use it, or use those machitzot of the pasim once the water runs out. But the Bor Yachid, when it's an individual, we don't have that reminder or that built-in mechanism. Therefore, by Bor Yachid, you cannot use the pasim. But you see from here that Rabbi Akiva does not allow the Bor Yachid to use pasim. Filu hocha ktani libiraot. Libiraot in, libiraot lo. But our Mishnah says that pasim work for be'erot, because that's what's mentioned in the Mishnah. It doesn't say anything about borot. Yet Rabbi Akiva by borot says the bor rabim, the public cistern, can use pasim, something that's not mentioned in our Mishnah. It says, afilu teim Rabbi Akiva, ber maim chayim de psikale lo shnad de rabim lo shnad de yachid k'tani. Our Mishnah mentioned the be'er, the well, both the public well and the private well there have the same din. It's a definitive statement that you can make about a be'er, and you will not have to qualify the statement because whatever is true by a public well is also true by the private well. On the other hand, bor mikunasim, when you're talking about a cistern, delo psigale, there you cannot make a definitive statement. You have to qualify your statement because you'd have to say, well, it depends if it's a public cistern or a private cistern, loktani. Therefore, the Mishnah did not address it. The Mishnah addressed the situation where it was clear what the halacha is, and there's no qualification of that halacha. But an ochanami that the din by bor rabim would be the same as the be'erot, and therefore we don't have evidence of the fact that our Mishnah is not authored by Rabbi Akiva. Let's say that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. That's not. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava omer ein osim pasim el be'er harabim bilvad. You can only make these pasim for a public well. That's the only thing that pasim work for. V'ilu hachaktani, and our Mishnah says the be'erot in plural. So if it's written in plural, it sounds like lo shnad rabim, lo shnad yachid. Doesn't matter if it's rabim or yachid. The fact that it mentions beraot, any type of be'er, that would work with pasim, whereas Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava limits it to a public well. When it says, afilu tena Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, my beraot. So why is it written in plural? Beraot alma. It means wells in general. It's not wells in plural to indicate that that plurality is for both rabim and yachid. But the plural is being used here to just talk about wells in general, but not about two different categories of wells. Therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava could possibly be the author of our Mishnah. So based on that, the Gemara tried to eliminate three Tanaim from being possibly the authors of our Mishnah. Tried to eliminate Hananya, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. In each of the cases, they seem to make a statement that is incongruous with the Mishnah. And the Gemara in each case says, no, either we can work around it, or for whatever reason there was a differentiation, and therefore we don't have any evidence of the fact that these three Tanaim are not the author of the Mishnah. It could be authored by any of them. Still don't know who the author of the Mishnah is, but at least none of these are excluded from being the authors of the Mishnah. My Diyum Din. The Mishnah uses the term Diyum Din to describe the pasim at the corners that are perpendicular to each other. They run an amah in each direction, and they form the corner of these pasi biraot. So what does the word diyum din mean? Rabbi Yehuda ben Elazar, it's actually a contraction of two words, dio, or duo, meaning two, amudim, boards, posts. So it's two, meaning that this is a mechitza that creates two walls to it, because it's at the corner. And that's where the word yudio is used over here, meaning duo being two. Gemara here is now going to go off on a tangent that leads to one of the few agadot in Masechet Deruvim about the word dio, which means duo, and show us a couple of places where we darshan such a word, and then it will continue with a agada that we saw back in Masechet Berachot. Tatnanatam. Rabbi Yehuda omer, kol ha-shitim turim chutz min ha-dyufra. all types of figs, and these are poor quality figs, turim, are patur mi demai. Demai being produce that is purchased from an am haaretz. We have a safek as well as whether they took off masrot or not. Over here, the chachamim were mekil because these are low quality figs, and therefore there's not a lot of loss in money in paying the masrot. Therefore, the amearet, since rov amearet are masrin, and since there's no heavy loss of money because these aren't high quality figs, we assume that in this case they were taken off. Chutz min adyufra. The exception there is this one type of fig called diufra. My diufra. Amrula ilano se diu peirot bishana. Again, it's another contraction of the words. The words duo or duo, meaning two. And para, peire, fruits. So this is a tree that gives fruits twice a year. So those, we still have the regular din of demai, which is that it's a fake of the amaretz took off masrot from it, and you would have to be mafrish misafek again. So diufra has that requirement, as opposed to shitin, the remainder of the poor quality figs do not have that requirement. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elazar, Dio Partsuf Panim, Hayu Lod Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon was two-faced, duo-faced, one face facing forward and one face facing backwards. Shinemar says the Pasuk in Tilim, Achor Vakedim Tzartani, that back and forwards you created me, you formed me. So that formation indicates that there was a formation in front and a formation in the back. And based on that, Ramir ben Elazar suggests that is means that there were two faces created to man. Div, it says in Spreshit, Vayivin Hashem Elukim et Atzela, that Hashem built up the side. So here it's talking about the creation of woman. When God took something from man and then created the woman, it says that he took something from the side, or he took the side and built it into the woman. Ravu Shmuel, you have a machloket Ravu Shmuel, so what this side is. Chanamar Partsuf, one of them says it's a face, in that the Adam HaRishon had two faces, and then he, Kadosh Baruch Hu, removed one of those faces and made that into the woman. Chanamar Zanav, and the other one says that Adam HaRishon had a tail, and Hashem removed that tail and built it into the woman. Bishlam Adamar Partsuf, going to the one who says that we're talking about a face here, Hainu Dichtiv, Achor Vakedim Tzartani. I can explain the pasuk v'achor v'kedem tzartani, which is that man was originally created with two faces, and then Hashem took one of those faces and made it into the woman. Halamandar mar zanav, well, going to the one who says that Adam HaRishon had a tail, my achor v'kedem tzartani. What is that front and back? God created me. Kedem ravami, dam ravami, achor l'masib reshit, v'kodem, minkedem, v'kodem l'puranut. That this took place, the woman came into existence or was created after creation had been complete, but before the punishment, before Adam HaRishon gets into trouble. Bishlamo achor l'masib reshit, delo ivre ad male shabto. Okay, I understand how it's the tail end of creation, because man, woman is created on the last day of creation, on Erev Shabbat. Ela v'kedem or kodem l'pranut mahi. What does it mean? It was before the punishment, before the klala. Ile mishum klala. If you want to say because of the curse, ha betchila nitkaleel nachash. He wasn't the first one to be cursed, because first the nachash got the curse for violating the word of Hashem. Well, the sof nitkalela chava. Then the woman was punished. Chava was punished or given a curse. The sof nitkalel adam. And then Adam HaRishon received the curse that Hashem gave. So over there, man is the last again, not the first. Hello, the mabul dichtiv. It's written by the Mabul, that's where man was cursed first, because it says, Vayimach et kol yikum ashel pnei adama, that the Mabul wipes out all existence on the face of the earth, me'adam v'ad be'ma, from man until animal. So over here, man is mentioned first. So, achor v'kedem tzartani, achor means man is the last to be created, it's the tail end of creation. Kedem, he's the first of what, or the earlier, he's the first to receive the punishment in the Mabul, where he's wiped out before anybody else. Bishlamanandamar partsuf finu dichtiv vayitzer. Then when it says that God created man, it says that he does it and has two yuds in the word of create. Tre yudin. So one yud is for one face and the other yud for the other face, meaning that there's some sort of dual creation here. Lamandamar zanav, according to one who says zanav atel, my vayitzer. What is that Hashem created over here? Rabbi Shimon Pazi, Dama Shimon Pazi, Oli mi Yitzri, Oli mi Yotzri. The two yuds represent the two words. One, Yetzer, my desires, and Oli mi Yotzri, and one is my creator. If I follow my Yetzer, if I follow my desires, Oli mi Yotzri, then I will upset my creator. If I follow mi Yotzri, if I follow my creator, then Oli mi Yotzri, then my desires will be upset, because I don't follow them. So that's why there are two yuds there, basically representing the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer HaRa. That's why it says in the Pasuk that Hashem created them male and female, because originally there was a male and female together. Then what does it mean that they were created man and woman? The Rabbi Abou, we'll use that to explain Rabbi Abou, the Rabbi Abou Rami. Rabbi Abou says there's a stira. It says that they were created male and female. That God created man in his image. Originally, God wanted to create two. I mean, he was going to create man and woman. But in the end, he only created one, which was man. So yes, Hashem had thought or considered creating man and woman. In the end, he just created man. Then you can explain what it means when they closed up the flesh in the place that he had removed something before there was a face there. Hashem removes the face, now he has to close it up. What does it mean that Hashem closed up the basar, the flesh in that area? That's a place where Hashem cut the tail off. At the place that he cut the tail off, Hashem had to fill that in, so there would be no evidence of there was a tail there beforehand. Then when he says that we took the tail and built it into woman, it makes sense that Vayivan, that Hashem built something, because all you have is a tail there, and now he creates the woman from that. The man damar patsuf, the one who says that there was already a female face on the damar rishon, then my Vayivan, then what does it mean that Hashem built? The woman's face or image was already built. What did Hashem have to do then? So look at the Rabbi Shimon ben Asya. We'll use that for the member of Rabbi Shimon ben Asya. The Dorish Rabbi Shimon ben Asya. Vayivan Hashem makim et tzela. That Hashem created or built the tzela, the side. Melamed shekil akosh baruch chava. That teaches us that Hashem braided kiviyachol Chava's hair. Ve'viyad Adam Rishon. And then he presented her to Adam Rishon. Shekem ekrachei hayam gorim l'kliyata b'niyata. Because in the islands or on the overseas, they call braiding building. And we brought this in the Gemara on Shabbat to be oser braiding on Shabbat because it's a tolda of bonet. Davar acher. Vayivin Hashem Elokim, Amar Rav Chista, Vamri Lo B'matnita, Tana. Lamed Shabana HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chava K'Binyan. That Hashem made Chava like a building, L'Binyan Utzar, similar to a silo or a storage house. Ma utzar zera chav milamata v'katzar milamalo. Whenever you deal with storage, you always make it wider at the bottom and narrow at the top. Kedayel gedabela teperot. So that the pressure of that which is above will not cause the walls below to collapse. If you were narrow at the bottom and wide at the top, the pressure from everything sitting on it would cause the lower walls to collapse. So you build it in a way such that the walls at the bottom are wider than at the top, and therefore there is no pressure sitting on the walls. So too, Afa Yisha Rechava Milamata V'Ktzara Milamalo. She is wider at the bottom and narrow at the top. Kedei the Gabelet of Light, in order that she should be able to carry the fetus. V'Viel Adam, Hashem brought Chava to Adam. L'Meid Shasa Akosh Baruch Hu Shushbinit Adam Arishon. That Hashem was Adam Arishon's quote-unquote best man. That he was the one who took care of all the proceedings and everything that dealt with the wedding, as Rashi says, Shushbinich, Nishtadel, Bechituno. He looks after the wedding, the Samcho, to make sure that they are happy and that they have all that they want, Ulitasek, B'tzarchei Sudat Chupa, and to ensure that the wedding meal is all prepared and ready. Mikan Legadol, Shiaseh Shushbinut Lekatan. From here, you see, or there's evidence of the fact that someone who is of higher stature can still be the best man or take care of someone of a lower stature. Vayiraldo, you shouldn't feel bad about it. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it for Adam Rishon. Why should you feel bad about doing so, this for someone who is below you in stature? Rav Soloveitchik notes that the Medrash here also says, what was Hashem do for Shushbunita Adam? The answer he gives is that Shishbinit Adam is that he gave him brachot, the brachot of Sheva brachot. And based on this, the Soloveitchik says that the Ikar Simchat Chatan Vekala, or being Mesameh Chatan Vekala, is the Sheva brachot, is saying the Sheva brachot for them at the tail end of the wedding. And that is the eager part of Simchat Chatan Vekala. According to the one who says that they were two-faced, or Adam Arishon was two-faced, which was created first? Amar of Nachman Yisrael de Zachar Sagi Bereisha. Makes sense that the male face was there facing forward, or was the one that was created first, the Tanya. Lo le'ech Adam achorei Aisha, because man should never walk after a woman. The Derech v'afil Ishto. And when he's walking on the way or traveling, you should never walk behind a woman, even if that woman is his wife. Nizamdo al gesher, if he reaches a bridge where he's going to be forced to walk behind the woman, then he salken al tzadim. He should push her to the side, meaning that he should try to circumvent her, get ahead of her, so she doesn't have to walk behind her. Anybody who walks after a woman in the river does not have a chelek l'olam haba. In both these cases, Rashi mentions that here we're talking about an eshet ish, a married woman. It's interesting because it should be equally applicable to a non-married woman. Although there might be reasons why it wouldn't be as problematic by a non-married woman, but the din should be the same, though Rashi mentions in both these cases that are done by an eshet ish. And here they have two restrictions. One is to walk behind a woman in general, because the person will have hirurim or walk behind her, and it will be tantalizing in some way. Now, the reason in the river it's even worse is because in order to traverse the river, the woman's going to have to pull up her skirt or lift up her clothing. And there, of course, then there's going to be erva involved, not simply just the possibilities of your horror there. There you really have an exposure of erva, and that's why it's problematic. One thing to note here, Rashi and Tosafot argue about the Sheva Brachot that we say at the wedding. At the chuppah, or later on, the Sheva Brachot that we say during the week of Sheva Brachot. In the Sheva Brachot, one of the Brachot is Yotzer HaAdam. And there's another bracha Asheri Yetzat Adam B'Tzalmo. Question is, why do you need two brachot about Yetzirah? So Rashi says that's because it's according to the one who says that Adam Arishon was created with a tail, and then that tail was made into a woman, because there were two Yetzirot, there were two creations. One creation was man, and then the second creation, Vayiven, that Hashem had to build a woman out of the tail. Tosafot over here says that's not the case. He disagrees, and he thinks that this is according to the one who says Shtei Partzufim, that they were created with two faces, and that's what the Gemara says here, Vayitzer, that Hashem created them with two yuds, that there were two yitzirot, one yitzirah for Adam, one yitzirah for the Nekeva, that the two-faced being that's created in the beginning is really the equivalent of two yitzirot, and that's why they have two brachot with regards to yitzirah. Tanu Banan, Amaretzema ot li'isha miyado li'yada, someone who counts out money, or exchanges money from his hand to her hand, omi yada li'yado from her hand to his hand, in order to look at her, whether that's to look at her hands, to look at her in general. Even this person is a tzaddik, like Moshe Rabbeinu, who received the Torah from Har Sinai. He will not be freed of the judgment or the punishment of Gehinnom. On him, the Pasuk says, Yad liyad, lo yinake ra. Pashtut, the Pasuk is that those that join hands to do evil, they will not be spared the punishment. But here, the Gemara is dashing, yad liyad, someone who interacts, yad liyad, does something from hand to hand, lo yinakara, will not be protected from the evil, lo yinake midina shel geinom, he will not be protected from that judgment of geinom. Amar Rav Nachman, Manoach Am Haaretz Haya. Manoach, the father of Shimshon, was an Am Haaretz, Shinemar. It says, Vayakom Elech Manoach Achre Ishto. Because Manoach goes after his wife. And we just saw before that you're not allowed to walk behind a woman, including one's wife. And here Manoach walks after his wife. Matkivla Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak challenges that statement of Rav Nachman. And from here Tosafot points out that Stam Rav Nachman in Shas obviously is not Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak now, because Rav Nachman Yitzchak is posing a question to Rav Nachman. El Me'ata Gabi Elkanah. If you think that's the case, what are you going to say about Elkanah, who is enumerated as one of the Nevi'im in Yisrael in the Gemara Megillah? Tichtei, Vayelech Elkanah Achrei Ishto, that Elkanah went after his wife. Vachanami, Begabi Elisha, Dichtiv. What are you going to do by Elisha? Elisha Navi, who follows after the Isha Shunamit, Vayakama Yelech Acharea. He follows after her. So again, Achanami, there you're going to say the same thing. Ela Achorei Divareha V'atzata. He went after her words, her advice, meaning that the woman led the way, not physically, but led the way based on what she was saying or how she was acting. Achanami, so too by Manoach, Achorei Divareha V'atzata. They were following her words and her advice, meaning she was the one who had the Malach Hashem appear to her. Since the Malach Hashem appeared to her, she was conveying the message and leading the way. Not that he was physically walking after her. According to the original statement, Rav Nachman, who said that Manoach was Amaretz because he physically followed after his wife, he didn't even know the Torah, he didn't even know psukim, basic psukim that even children know. So when it says, when Rivka agrees to go back with Eved Avraham to go marry Yitzchak, there it says that she and her maidservants get on the Gamal, and then they ride in front, they ride, but not before the Ish, but rather Acharei Ish, after the man, after the Eved Avraham. And so you see over there that there's a requirement that if you're to walk, one should walk before the woman and not after the woman. Now the Gemara concludes with a overarching statement, which is,
Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Acharei Ari, V'lo Acharei Isha. It's better to walk after a lion than to walk after a woman. That's again to express the severity of the issue. Obviously an Ari, a lion is a dangerous animal, and walking behind a lion or following a lion is not a good thing. And what Rabbi Yochanan is expressing is that that's better than walking after a woman. Rashi again here, like he did before, mentions that Acharei Isha is a reference to Eshet Ish. That's not to say that if she's not a married woman that it's okay, but rather, as we discussed in the Gemara Brachot and Daf Samech Aleph, which has the parallel Gemara to here, Rashi over there might be saying Eshet Ish because of what we said before, the severity that we're discussing. Over here it says Ein Lo Chelek Lo Amaba. The fact that the Gemara speaks in such strong terms might be because we're speaking about an Eshet Ish. Not to say that if she's not an Eshet Ish that it's okay, but rather maybe it's not of the same severity in that situation. And now the Gemara continues in this type of hierarchy of what's better. Better to walk behind a lion than a woman, and then Acharei Isha. It's better to walk behind a woman than to walk behind Avodah Zarah or to be drawn towards Avodah Zarah.
Rashi says here that you might be drawn after the Avodah Zarah, captured by the desire for Avodah Zarah. So better to walk after a woman, which we already saw was problematic, but then to walk after Avodah Zarah. Acharei Avodat Kochavim v'lo Acharei Beit HaKnesset. One should walk behind in Ovid Avodah Zarah, better than to walk behind the Beit Knesset b'shasha mitpalim, at the time that the Tzibur is mitpalim. Alright, from here we have two interesting halachot that arise. The first halacha is not to walk behind a woman. There's a very interesting tshuva from the Tzitz Eliezer. And the Tzitz Eliezer discusses that he and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal had gotten together on occasion, and they'd been discussing an issue, and this issue happens to be the issue they were discussing, about whether one can walk behind a woman. And Rav Shlomo Zalman posed the question, the basic nature of the question was, when they're waiting at a bus stop, and Rav Shlomo Zalman, out of courtesy, wants to allow a woman to get on the bus before him, especially the woman there happened to be an Eshet Chaver. She was the wife of another Talmud Chacham, who Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that he wanted to give respect to. So if he lets the woman ascend the bus first, then he's going to have to walk behind the woman. And was that okay? So they discussed it, and they didn't come to any conclusion. The Tzitz Eliezer finds a source which he thinks supports the position of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and writes to him, and then Rav Shlomo Zalman responds that he likes it, and he basically gives the Psak Halacha that, number one, today it's different, because in the day when this was said, there weren't a lot of women out in the public domain. He says today there might even be more women out in the public domain than men. And so if one avoids why mind this woman, they'll just end up behind another woman. So, number one, he thinks that the Isur might not exist anymore because there's not as much ability, or there isn't an ability to escape from walking behind a woman. And came into Dashba, Rabim Dashba, says it's something that's very common and something that happens all the time, then we don't focus on it or worry about it anymore. And he also talks about the other issues of Busha, that in the past people were embarrassed to look at a woman who was either clothed appropriately or inappropriately. So therefore, Acharei Isha, the whole chap was that you're behind the woman and that she couldn't sense that you were looking at her. Whereas where you're in front or next to her, that she would sense you were looking at her. But today, he says, where there's a pritzut that people look, whether they're standing in front to the side or behind, nobody has any embarrassment about looking at a woman, then maybe all that differentiation goes away. And for a number of those reasons, Rishlomo Zalman thought it was okay to allow the woman to go on the bus in front of him, especially in a case where there had to be kavod to an eshet chaver there to allow the woman to get on the bus before him. That's number one. Number two is Acharei Beit HaKnesset. This is a sugya that we discussed in the Gemara in Brachot and Davval. It's Machloket Rashi Tosafot and Tushitot within the Tosafot about what Acharei Beit HaKnesset is. What is behind the Beit HaKnesset? Does behind the Beit HaKnesset mean on the side that the Aron is? Or does Acharei Beit HaKnesset mean the side that the doorway is? So based on that, you'd have a different halacha. Where is the Easter of going Acharei Beit HaKnesset? Is Acharei Beit HaKnesset walking by the side where the Aron is? And there it looks like, or davening over that side, because it looks like you're davening to someone besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole tzibur is facing one way, and either you're facing towards them the other way, or facing the same direction, but you're on the other side of the Aron. For that reason, it's problematic. Or is the problem Acharei Beit HaKnesset by the doorway? That if you're by the doorway, then you're facing the opposite of the tzibur, or you're doing something wrong by being Acharei Beit HaKnesset. Here, most likely, it has to do with passing by. If you pass by the doorway of the entrance to the Beit HaKnesset, and you don't enter, you look like a kofar. Everybody else is davening, and you walk by. There, the Gemara in Brachot gives dispensations. For instance, if there's another shul in town, if there's another doorway to the shul where it's not obvious that you're avoiding going into shul, there one would not be mugdar ke kofar. Ramari Mirmiya ben Elazar. Most of these agadot that are brought here are memro tev Rabbi Irmiya ben Elazar, and that's why these are brought down, even though there may be no connection thematically, which is Rabbi Irmiya ben Elazar. Kolotam mashanim shayadam rishon bin nidui. All those years that Adam Rishon was in Nidui, an excommunication, after he had sinned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was punished for Chet Adam Rishon. Holid, he gave birth to Ruchim, spirits, Shedim, demons, male demons, Lilin, female demons, Shinehemar, because the Pasuk says, V'chi Adam Shloshim Ma'at Shana, Adam was 130 years old, V'yoled Mutmo Ketzomo, then he gave birth to someone in his own image, and that was when he gave birth to Shet. V'chlad Ada Idna, the implication is, until that point, he did not give birth to something in his image. Lav Kitzomo Yodid, to give something not his image, like Ruchin, Shedin, and Lilin. Meitve, is that really true? Hayari Meir Omer Adam Rishon Chasid Gadolaya. He was a tremendous tzaddik. Kevin Shirash Niknasa Mitalia Do. After he heard from Hashem that the punishment for his sinning by the Eitz Hadat was that death was now going to come to the world. Yashav B'Ta'anit. He sat fasting, Mea B'Shloshim Shana. 130 years, and he was not together with his wife for 130 years. And he girded himself with the fig leaves, as it said in the Torah. For 130 years. So based on that, we're going to have to amend what Rabbi Elazar was saying. For we thought the reason that he was giving birth to these Shedim, Lilim, and Ruchin was because he was together with his wife. Just she was giving birth to things that were not of his image. Now Gemara says he wasn't together with his wife for those 130 years. So how did all these Shedim, Ruchim, and Lilim come about? That happens from a seminal emission. The seminal emission caused that to happen, and not because his wife was giving birth, meaning that he wasn't together with his wife, but he had a seminal emission. It creates these Shedim, Lilim, and Ruchim. This happens to be interesting because there's a min of Yerushalayim with regards to Kavura, that when it comes to the burial of a father and mother, they do not allow the children to approach the grave of the parent. The reason is that the father had seminal emissions during his lifetime, then he would have given birth, like the Gemara says here, to these Ruchim, Lilin, and Shedim. And if the children, the biological children that are there, come to the gravesite, along with them will come all of these subhuman Shedim, Lilim, Ruchin. And so in order not to be a problem, we ask the children to stand back. And Minhag Yerushalayim is that the children do not approach the grave because of this reason. From Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Miksat Shivcho Shel Adam Omrim B'Fanav, V'Kolo Shelo B'Fanav. You say a portion of someone's praise in front of him, but not all of their praise. Miksat Shivcho B'Fanav, you say a part of his praise, D'Chtiv Ko'otcha Ra'iti Tzadik D'Fanai B'Dor Azim. When Hashem speaks to Noach, tells him that he sees him as a tzadik. Kolo Shelo B'Fanav, but he doesn't say all about Noach. D'Chtiv Noach Ish Tzadik Tamim, Ayabidoratav, that's a tzaddik, tamim. He was a wholesome tzaddik, something even greater than just a plain tzaddik. That is said in the narrative, but is not said directly to Noach. The pashtut is the reason you don't do this is because you don't want to make a person feel so haughty. You give them a little bit of incentive, you give them a little bit of praise, but you don't give them all the praise, so they shouldn't think that they've reached the pinnacle of what they're trying to accomplish. Over here, Rashi says it's for a different reason. It's because the one giving the praise, that they should not look like a machnif, they should not look like a person's patronizing. You say a person a little bit of praise because that's normal. If you're exaggerate or overabundant in your praise, it looks like you're patronizing the individual and not being truthful. And that's why you only say mitzvah shvachol lefanav. V'amar revering ben Elazar ma'nichtiv, v'nei ale zayit taraf b'fia, that the yonah, when it leaves the teva, comes back with the branch of the olive tree. Amra yonah lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the yonah says to Hashem, Rabbeinu Shalom, yehu mazonotai mirurim kezayit, my food should be bitter like the zayit, like the olive tree, umisirim biyadcha, and in your hands, meaning that I should be fed from you and dependent on you, v'ayu metukim kedvash, that should be sweet, they shouldn't be sweet like honey, v'tulim b'liyad basar v'dam, and be dependent on mankind, meaning Noach. So I'd rather have you provide my sustenance, even if it's bitter, than get a sweet sustenance from mankind. K'tiv ha'cha taraf, divata machifeni lechem chuki. So we see the word taraf is used in the context of providing sustenance, and that's what the Yonah was saying by bringing back the olive branch. Tosafot over here notes that zayit can refer both to the tree and to the olive itself. And the Gemara in Ketzad Mevarchim in the sixth parak of Brachot notes that's the problem with what bracha would you make on olive oil. If you were to make a bracha on olive oil, you can't make borei priya zayit because the zayit means both the tree and the olive. And the priya zayit, you can say when it's the time at the olives, and that would be the derivative of the tree. But if it's also the derivative of the fruit, that's not true. That doesn't come from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that comes from mankind. So therefore, the Gemara rejects the ability to say Bori Priya Zayit or some other form of bracha like we have by Yayin, Bori Priya Gofen, by Shem and Zayit, because of that reason. Any household in which Torah is heard at night is not destroyed. Shenemar. V'lo amar ayei eluka elua osai notains mirot balaylo. Velo amar, and it won't be said, ayei Eloah, oh sai, where is the God, my creator, notains mirot balayla, that gives song at night? Meaning that since the song of Torah is heard in this house at night, we know where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found. V'amar Yirmiyahu ben Elazar, miyom shechara beit ha-mikdash, dayo de olam shishtamesh b'shtei otiyot. That it's enough for the world to use two letters. It's interesting play on the word dio here, dayo, which means enough, and dio meaning duo two, because only two letters. Shneamar, kol nishama tahel, ka, hallelujah, ka. So over there it says that the neshama will give praise to Hashem with the yud ke, not the yud ke vav ke, the shem and miforash of Hashem, which is used in the mikdash by the Kohanim. That was eliminated with the destruction of the mikdash. So today all that's left is the letters yud ke, that we use a portion of Hashem's name, because in a sense there's a chilul Hashem by the fact that there is no beit ha-mikdash. And Hashem's kisei is not complete until the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt. V'amar miyom v'lez, nitkala bavel, nitkalalu shchena. When Bavel was cursed, its neighbors were cursed. Nitkalala shomron, nitbarchu shchena. When Shomron was cursed, then its neighbors were blessed. Nitkalala bavel, nitkalalu shchena. When Bavel was cursed, its neighbors were cursed. Dichtev, samtia, lemoresh kipod. It'll be an inheritance for the bittern, or the modern day word kipod is for a porcupine, v'aga meimayim, and pools of water. So they have wild animals that are running around Bavel, and that will negatively affect its neighbors. Nitkalala shomron, nitbarchu shchena. When Shomron was cursed, its neighbors were blessed. Dichtiv, samti Shomron, the iasadeh, they were made into the heaps of the fields. Ulamite kerem, and to planted vineyards. So its neighbors were able to benefit from all the produce that was there and the water that was there. So there was something positive given to its neighbors. Tosafot over here asks, there is a midrash in Torah Kohanim that says that when Bnei Yisrael not on the land doesn't produce. So over here, why is it producing? It gives two answers. One is because Shechina, its neighbors were Yehuda, and therefore they benefited from it. Or the possibility is that they still give fruits, just doesn't give as much as when Bnei Yisrael are present. Okay, we'll stop over here.